I'm your host, Manisha. Thank you for tuning in. Very early next morning, the three girls were woken by a strange voice shouting loudly, "Come on, girls, wake up, wake up." It was Miss Evans. She went around room, pulling the blankets off the beds and shaking the girls awake. When she came to Molly's bed, she stared at the three girls lying there. "Ah, yes, the new girls. All right, make your beds, then get some breakfast. The others will show you where to go." Making the bed was easy. You just pulled the blanket straight. There were no sheets. When visitors came to Moor River, sheets were put on the beds to look good. But after the visitors had gone, the sheets were taken away again. One of the bigger girls came over to them. "I'm Martha Jones," she said. "I'm from Port Hedland. I have been here 1 year now. I can show you around if you like." Martha was friendly and full of useful information. The girls from Jingalong liked her at once. A loud bell sounded somewhere. "That's the breakfast bell," said Martha. "We have to hurry or the tea will be cold." They went outside. They could see the boys' dormitory and children running across the other building. There was thin sunlight, but the air was cold. It was not so bad here once. "You know the place," Martha told them. Molly said nothing. She stood still and stared across the other dormitory building. Saw the metal bars across all the windows, the big padlocks on all the doors. "I don't like this place," she thought. "It's like a prison. They lock you up at night time and let you go out in the morning." After breakfast, the new girls were sent to the washroom, where nurse washed them from head to foot in cold water. They were given new white dresses to wear and shoes. "The lunch was just as bad as breakfast. The food never gets any better," said Martha. "We get meat and sometimes at dinner, but mostly we get soup with not much meat in it." They walked together back to dormitory. "Do you want to come for a walk?" Martha asked. "I can show you the river if you like. Lots of girls go down there to play." With another girl called Polly, they walked behind the dormitory, past a kind of field where some of the boys were playing a ball game, and climbed down the track to the river. With the recent rains, the river was high, its deep brown water hurrying noisily between the rocks. There were tall trees, their tops swaying in the wind, small trees with bright pink flowers and bushes covered with golden flowers. It was a beautiful place, but the trees and the flowers were all strange to Molly. Her heart ached for home, for red earth and the dry salt lakes and the riverbeds of the western desert, for the trees and the bushes and the flowers that she knew. As they walked back into the settlement, they passed a small square building on the corner and heard a voice calling, "Hey, who's out there?" "It's me, Polly, with Martha and the three new girls. Can you tell my sister to bring me some damper and some tea?" the girl's voice said. She sounded very unhappy. "Yeah, I will tell her," Polly promised. What's that place?" asked Molly. "There was one small window with bars high on one wall. It's the punishment building," said Martha. "We call it the Boop. Poor Violet is in there for 2 days because she said bad words to Miss Morgan, the teacher. But she's lucky." "Lucky? Why is she lucky?" Grace said. "You should see the girls who were locked up for running away," Polly said. "They were in the Boop for 7 days with just bread and water. They had all their hair cut right off and they were beaten too. It was terrible." "Oh, Daisy," whispered, her eyes wide with fear. "How far did they get?" asked Molly. "Not very far, only to the railway line south of Mogamba," Martha said. "The train slowed down there and they were going to jump on the train, but the black tracker found them." Martha's voice became angry and he made them to walk all the way back here without stopping while he rode behind them on his horse like a white policeman. There was a little silence for a while. Then Molly asked, "Has anyone ever escaped? Really escaped? I mean, got away and got back home?" "No, lots of people have tried to run away, but the black tracker has always caught them and brought them back. Then they're beaten and locked in the Boo. Sometimes they are in there for 14 days. The girls walked on in silence along the main road through the settlement. They had passed the church when Martha stopped suddenly. "Look," she said. "Look over here. There's that black tracker I was telling you about. His name is Modu." The girls turned to look and saw a tall, thin man in his black jacket. He passed them, his face unsmiling. Daisy hid her face in Molly's skirt as he passed. At dinner, it was the same uninteresting food. Sweet milk, tea, bread, some kind of vegetable soup with small pieces of grey meat. Molly put several pieces of bread in her pocket and whispered to Gracie and Daisy, "You take some too. Fill your pockets for later." After dinner, everybody ran back to dormitory because it was beginning to rain hard. The girls sat or lay on the beds, the younger ones listening to older ones telling stories, laughing, talking about their hopes for future. When I get back home, were the words they often said. But very few of these girls would ever see home again. The government would send them to work as servants in a farm and depot hundreds of miles away from home. Molly, Daisy, Gracie sat together on one bed, talking in their own Madu language. "You girls can't talk that language here, you know," a voice warned from another bed. "You got to forget it and talk in English all the time." The girls stared at speaker in surprise. "It's true," said Martha. "I had to do the same. They tell everyone that when they go to school the first time." Molly could not believe it. "We can't talk in our own language," she whispered. "That's awful." "You know, it's awful," Martha said. "But we got over it." Soon Miss Evans came to put the lights out and lock the doors. Molly lay there in darkness, listening to the keys turning in the big padlocks. "We can't live in this place," she whispered to herself. "We're going to get away from here. We're going to go back home to Jingalong." They were woken at 6 in the morning. Molly ran to the window and looked out. The sky was dark and grey. "More rain coming," thought Molly and smiled. After breakfast, everybody returned to dormitory to get ready for school. Soon afterwards, the school bell sounded. "Come on," Martha said to Molly. "The bell's gone. Don't be late on your first day of school." "Yes, all right. But we got to empty the toilet bucket first." "I will wait for you then," said Martha. "No, don't wait," said Molly softly. "We'll follow you. We know where the school is." "All right, we'll go along. Come on, Polly," and Martha left. When all the girls had left, Molly turned to Gracie and Daisy. "You're not going to school," she whispered. "Get your bags. We are going to home, to Jingalong." The two younger girls stared at her, confused and scared. "What?" said Gracie. Daisy looked frightened. "But Gudu, how are we going to go back to Jingalong? It's a long way." "I know it's a long way, but it's easy," said Molly. "We'll find the rabbit-proof fence and follow it home." "We're going to walk all the way," said Daisy. "Yes," said Molly. "My dad worked on the fence. He was an inspector, all right? He told me about the fence. It goes all the way from south to north. We just got to find it." The younger girls usually did what their big sisters told them to do. So they ran to get their white cotton bags. There were nothing much in them. A hairbrush, a little mirror, a few pieces of dried bread. They left the dormitory carrying the toilet bucket between them and walked down to the washroom. When they came out, Molly looked carefully round the corner of the building. Daisy looked too, holding on to Molly's skirt. There was nobody around. The road through the settlement was empty. Molly turned to another two. "Now," she whispered, "run, follow me." And away they went, down through the trees towards the river, running like a wind. They ran by the river for 2 hours, looking for place to cross. After the rain, the ground was soft and wet, and it was hard work, pushing through the thick bushes. At last, they found a good place. A tree had fallen across a narrow part of the river, making a bridge. When they had crossed to the other side, Molly turned to Gracie and Daisy. "We go north now, all the way home."